Welcome to Game That Tune!
What is going on, everybody? It's Game That Tune back in the house once again. Oh my god, guys, it's Game That Tune for the first time in the year 2026. Fantastic year that it's been so far. It's only gonna get better with the return of Game That Tune.
Yeah,
it's your boy John Harrington here. I got John Regan with me. Say hey.
Hey.
And I got Jesse Moore. Say hey.
Hey.
Hell yeah, guys, welcome back. It's, you know, usually when we take a little bit of time off from the show, it'll be like, you know, 1 or 2 weeks or whatever. And I say, oh, man, it's been so long since we did the show. You know, it's been like a solid month since we've done the show. I've missed you guys. It's great to see you.
Yeah, I was forgetting how to do everything. I was getting set up here, like, having to remind myself, like, oh, shit, I got to start the virtual audio cards. That's right. I haven't had to do that in a while.
Right, yeah. We do the show on what now? Twitch? You know, some sort of streaming place, I think.
I think it's yeah, about video games.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
their sound exactly. Effects.
Well, right. I tried to recreate the show because I get real lonely, and so it was like me and two of my cats. And I gotta tell you, you guys are way better podcasters.
Okay, thank
like,
you.
Like the cats are cool and all, but one, they don't know shit about video game music, so. It just didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Two, yeah, the conversations probably, I assume, were slightly less coherent than the ones with us here on the show. So,
Well, one of my cats is kind of a conspiracy nut, and that just was real uncomfortable.
Right.
Kept talking about InfoWars, and I was like, all right, you're off the show.
Mm. Man.
You know,
it's a shame, Jesse. We could have made some good money if you had parlayed that into. Yeah, it's 2026, man. We should be doing right wing grifting. Why are we not?
Yeah, I think, oh
man,
I think,
can we get your cat back on the show?
Grift man, I'm that broken.
Can't we just buy InfoWars now? Could we do that and make your cat the host?
We should look into that. I mean, you know, did they ever finish selling it to the Onion?
I think
it's kind of just sitting out there. Game That Tune could take it.
Yeah,
man.
God, imagine if we just replace InfoWars with Game That Tune.
No one would expect it.
I could really use that, you know, whatever they were making, $80 million a month or whatever crazy-ass fucking number it was. But no, this is not InfoWars. This is Game That Tune, the video game music guessing podcast, where we're going to play songs for each other, try and guess the games based on the songs, goof off and have a lot of fun, as we always do. It's great to be back, guys. It's a new year, and I believe I won the last episode of the last year, and I used my Christmas wish to shut down the show and declare that this year should start off with a fantastic new free play. And what better way to do it then with a fantastic, all-new, epic, free-play jingle. Johnny, it's a free-play tonight. Hit it!
Free-play!
That didn't sound quite right. A bit of an anti-climax there. I guess we'll just, I don't know, we'll go with it for now. Maybe we can add to that over the course of the year. Maybe we... okay, we're starting small. Starting small with a new, you know, shitty free play jingle, and we'll build it up over the course of the year. That, I did not see that coming.
I can play it again if you want.
Maybe it gets longer this time. I don't think it does, but we can try it.
We'll see.
Free play.
Man, what is all that dimensional swooshing?
It's about the same as last time.
Yeah, pretty much the same jingle.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah.
What if we played it a third time?
No, I don't think we should.
Free play.
See, the beauty of it, though, like, we used to do that bit, like, oh, what was that? Was it a free play? And now we can actually play the free play jingle, you know, many times in, you know, rapid succession.
Free play.
It's like when you go into the bathroom with the lights off and say Bloody Mary a bunch.
Exactly. That's exactly what happens. You get a free play.
Go into your bathroom, turn the lights off, and say free play into the mirror until you hear one of us.
You also got to recreate those other sounds.
Free play.
Oh, Jesus. All right, cool. But yeah, it's free play. So anything goes, fellas. It's a new year, new show, new tunes, maybe. It's not really the nature of the show. It's more about old tunes. But yeah. I think we're gonna play some fun songs and have a great time tonight. So, Johnny, let's just jump right into it, man.
Game one.
Guys, so in this game, if the main character is hit by an enemy, he loses all of his magic energy, which scatters from him, similar to the rings from the Sonic the Hedgehog games. He has a limited amount of time to collect that magic energy again, and if he gets hit when he has no magic energy, he loses a life.
Thank you.
All right. Who's got some answers for me?
Only so many games it could be. Well.
All right. Jesse says Dizzy, which is incorrect. And John says Sonic the Wizardhog, which is close, but still incorrect.
Roll that beautiful bean footage. We slow cook our beans with a special...
extra bean.
I forgot I couldn't cut that one off.
Yeah.
So, this is the Flink or the Misadventures of Flink.
What?
Which is a game that was developed by Psygnosis and released for the Sega Mega Drive in Europe and Sega CD and Mega CD in the US and Europe. I meant to grab the Sega CD soundtrack, and I realized right before the show, like, I definitely grabbed the Mega Drive soundtrack, like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, that was certainly not the Sega CD soundtrack.
Yeah, that was right. Very British.
So yeah, the Misadventures of Flink, you guys ever play this one?
No.
All right, we gotta start adjusting these questions, like, yeah. Have we ever played it? Given that it came out only in Europe, on the Mega Drive, I'm gonna go with no. But like, you know, can we start with, have you ever heard of this? Do we have any idea what this game is? Yeah. And the answer is also no. Is it like a? So I'm sorry, the Misadventures of Flink. Is it like a Zelda, like spoof?
No, it's definitely a platforming game. And so it's a side-scrolling platformer, and the sort of gimmick is that you can collect ingredients for spells and learn spells throughout the game, and then cast said spells, right? So there's like a spell to summon a demon, there's a spell to summon a tornado, you can turn into a ghost and enter some clouds.
Okay. Wait.
Yeah,
are you talking about dying?
You know,
a spell to kill yourself.
That's a good question because I'm reading what ingredients you need, and you have to get a skull as an ingredient, a goblin's tooth, and a magic root. So, like, I don't know. I do feel like I feel like there's some death involved with that skull showing up.
Maybe.
And also, you turn into a ghost.
Yeah.
And I got your magic root right here. So, platforming with magic, are we still sure we're not describing a spoof of the Adventures of Link?
Yeah.
Really, I'm really thinking that maybe these guys, they were just ripping off. They're like, you know, nobody even likes the Adventures of Link. Let's just fucking steal everything from it and make that. The real determining thing, do you get to stab anybody in the head in this game? Is there a jumping, like, down stab with your character, Flink, or is it strictly magic stuff?
I think it's strictly magic and jumping on things. I don't... Yeah, you can jump on enemies, you can cast spells. There's no sword play in this game.
Okay.
No stabbing.
In that case, I let go of my comparison.
It's definitely a Psygnosis game in that, like, I feel like Psygnosis' whole thing is making games that look really, really good.
But
and then everything else is secondary,
right?
Because the art looks incredible. You watch the game; it's like, this looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of cool like effects, you know, visual effects going on. Lots of hardware tricks that they know how to pull off to make things be transparent, you know, and phase in and out, and all kinds of cool things.
Sure.
I don't know if it's actually good though.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like, the title doesn't really make you want to play it. Like, if you're a, you know, European child going to whatever the European version of Blockbuster is, what do they have instead of Blockbuster in Europe? Is it just called Blockbuster Europe? I don't know.
I think in the Netherlands it's Dykebuster, but like, yeah.
Okay, so if you're fucking. A little Netherlands kid going to Dyke Busters, and you fucking see Flink on the shelf.
Sense. Flink like a curse over there in England? This bloody Flink has stole me boot.
Could be. Yeah, it could, yeah. Hmm. Maybe that's also... Well, no, as I was going to say, if it's like European, you know, crude slang, it shouldn't come out in Europe. It should come out here. But this one came out there and then didn't come out here, so I don't know. Is flink offensive to Americans? Do we need to poll Americans real quick and see if they know what flink means? Because I don't think any of us do.
If you could put up a poll in the Twitch chat real quick, is flink offensive?
Right.
Working on it.
I mean, I'm offended by it, but that's just because, I don't know. I like games with cooler names than that. You know, you got, like... I mean, so flink is what, a wizard? Like, or like a...
Yeah, he's a little wizard kid.
Yeah, so I don't know. Come up with a fucking snappier name than that. Don't call it flink. Call it whiz kid or some shit. Like... Yeah, I don't know. Whiz boy.
I like your title of Sonic the Wizard Hog.
See, yeah, also, just call Sega and see if you can make it a Sonic game. See if you can make it a magic Sonic game. Like, you know, they don't have to know. Like, or like if it doesn't do well, America and Japan would never have to find out. They could just have made a magic Sonic game in Europe, and everybody would be like, that's weird, man. That's, you know. Not really like him at all. He usually goes fast and, you know, rolls through things. And this one, he kind of moves real slow and, you know, kills himself and floats through clouds. Yeah. And it would just be like the weird, it'd be like back in the day when, like, celebrities would do commercials in Japan. Like, you know, Sonic did a fucking weird magic European game. I don't know. They should do that. Regional weird versions of things.
Yes.
But, instead, we got flink. So, I mean, it's something. But, like, I'm looking at the cover of the game, and, you know, do you think possibly that the character of flink is actually the fucking frontman of Prodigy, Keith Flint?
Ooh.
And they didn't clear it with him, and then he found out about it. He's like, you can't call this game Keith Flint. And they're like, fine, we'll call it
Keith Flink.
Get out of here, Keith. Because, yeah, the cover art makes the character look... I'm not sure what he looks like. Like a shady Elmer Fudd with crazy hair and Mickey Mouse gloves. I don't understand what I'm looking at here. It's, you know, this Flink. He doesn't... He draws me in with questions, but he doesn't make his way into my hand to be rented from the Dyke Buster. So, yeah, I don't know. It's, weird game you found here, Johnny.
Are you profiling?
I like the idea of them doing a last minute soundtrack replacement. Like, originally it was going to be all Prodigy songs. It's like, oh shit. Yeah. We had the whole level called Smack My Bitch Up.
There's that fire starting level. It's crazy, too. We're making this game well before Prodigy was popular.
I guess also, we'll just put it on the Wipeout soundtrack. Then.
I was going to say, these are the Wipeout developers.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Then
yeah, this.
All this isn't wildly off base. They might actually have been just fucking sitting there doodling Keith Flint and being like, yeah, I don't know, man. This guy looks like a bit of a wizard. I could see making a game about this guy. But we can't call it Flint or Keith. Let's just, you know, Flink. Fucking, I think we might be onto something. I think if we can get an interview with one of the guys from Psygnosis, they'll reveal that for once, something stupid said on Game That Tune was fully true. You'll be like, wow, you guys picked up on that, huh? But,
well, it's on the back of the box, after all.
Right, exactly. The back of the box still just says, this is a Keith Flint game. You must be a prodigy to play this game. Like, oh. Jeez. But no one would ever know, because no one's ever seen this before. Man, how did you find this, Johnny?
I wanted to find a Sega CD game, so I was just looking up Sega CD games, basically. Mm. And then I saw Psygnosis did it. I was like, oh, that's kind of neat, because they did Wipeout, you know, and they're known for... I feel like before they got in the 3D era, their whole thing was just, again, games that look really good. You know, and do all the cool tricks they know how to do.
Right.
It's very, very, you know, their whole style is very Amiga European, like, oh, we're really going to study the hardware and make it do neat shit. And then just kind of not deliver all the way through, like, but is the game fun? Is the game good?
See, because I also, you know, it's been a long time since I played it, but I feel like one game that kind of undermines that is Lemmings. which is a fun game, which I don't think looks especially fantastic, but maybe it's been a long time since I played it and I'm, you know, not remembering the flourishes and things of that game. But I don't know. Synthosis, it's an interesting company.
They're one hit.
Yeah, exactly. Lemmings wrote them a blank check and they were fucking using it on crazy shit like Flink for the rest of their careers. Whatever happened to those guys? They
Wipeout.
They made a lot of fucking games. And then then Wipeout happened. You know what? Actually, I'm looking at their wiki page. You know what one of their last, their last four games developed was?
Muppet Race Mania.
Muppet Race Mania for the PlayStation 1, baby! Talk about a wipeout.
And Muppet Monster Adventure before that.
Man, okay. Psygnosis is cool with me. Anybody that had a hand in bringing the Muppets to the PlayStation 1 era, they're good.
Someone had to.
Maybe that's also it. Maybe Flink is like secretly like a canceled Muppet. You know, like this character's got the look of like a fucking weird, just saying like a weird Muppet. They just, you know, they tried to pitch, you know, they were like this to Jim Henson's Surviving Kids. And, you know, it's like, yeah, what do you think about Flink?
What do you think about this Prodigy Muppet?
Yeah. What if a Muppet was in Prodigy?
Right. And they're like, yeah, I don't know. You know, there's no Muppet Show anymore, but we used to also do like kind of fun songs.
Rainbow Connection.
Yeah,
Rainbow
not upsetting guys. Yeah. Oh man. Rest in peace, Keith Flint. I would love to hear him cover a bunch of Muppet songs.
Oh,
that'd be the mashup I'd been waiting for my whole life.
But, finally,
man. Johnny, what an interesting start to the show. What a fantastic Flink that you found. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, nothing.
Game 2.
Mm-hmm. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. Boy, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
I just played that song. I think I just played out where it went. Whoops. My bad.
All right, guys. So this game currently features 112 playable characters, as well as 21 courses, with two new sets of characters and courses planned for release in early 2026. Alright, guys. Hope you're feeling great about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see those answers. Let's see. Hey, what do you know, Johnny and Jesse? You both have the correct answer. It is Disney Speedstorm. The absurdly titled Disney Speedstorm. Some might call it Disney's Mario Kart. I wouldn't. Because I like Mario Kart, and it's fun. And I can't imagine that this game is as fun as some of the other kart racing games out there. But hey, I don't want to be closed-minded. I just I get the feeling that a free-to-play Disney kart racer maybe less fun than some other games. But it's free, so I don't know. Not complaining. Jesse, have you played Disney Speedstorm? You seem like the likely person here out of the two of you that might have played this.
I have not.
Okay, crap. Johnny, you being the Disney guy here then, you must have played Disney Speedstorm.
You know, fun fact, I have not played this game.
Okay. that is a fun fact. And it's, you know, one I know to be true about you. it's a fun and unsurprising fact that Johnny has not played the free-to-play Disney kart racing game, Disney Speedstorm. I'm sorry to hear that, Johnny. Because I also haven't played it, and I don't think I have any intention of playing it. I feel like, you know, my son is not such a huge Disney fan that, like, he can't never know about this, but I get the feeling that if he finds out there's games that you can, like, start for free and spend a little bit of money on, I get the feeling he'll get sucked into that model and, before you know it, be asking me for money a lot. And not realizing he's wasting his money buying, you know, more and more things for these free-to-play games. I've seen it happen to a couple of kids.
The thing is you have to understand, as your child grows up, they're going to ask you for money.
Yes.
And they're going to waste it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
frankly,
either way.
All right, Jesse, let's do a quick parenting, just, you know, sidebar here. What do you feel like is more of a waste? Like, toys or free-to-play video games?
it depends. I mean, my daughter does play Roblox, and sometimes she will ask for Robux, and it does bring her great joy, cool. rather than, you know, a toy that she's not going to do anything with. So,
right. Yeah, my son, his current obsession is these Mr. Beast hybrid toys.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can, like, you build little guys from all the robot, or, like, whatever, the action figure parts, you have legs and arms and heads and bodies that can swap around. So he's got a bunch of these Mr. Beast toys, and he keeps asking me, he's like, hey, what if I'm good in school? Can I get some more money for a Mr. Beast? And yeah. I'm like, man, no, fuck you.
No. Get a job.
But if he was like, you know, hey, can I get some money for, you know, the Aladdin pack and Disney Speedstorm, I would also be like, no, fuck you, what? Like, so I'm just trying to figure out which is the you know, the better hill to die on, like, no money for toys or no money for fucking free-to-play content. I really don't know which one. I'm, you know, parenting's tough, man.
Yeah, it's crazy,
you know. The important thing actually really is that you don't die on a whole lot of hills. You got to be flexible with this stuff. So yeah, I don't know, maybe if at some point he finds out that there is a Disney kart racing game, maybe we'll play it. But, like, I don't know. I don't know if it's worth playing without paying for anything. I love a free-to-play game that is okay to play without paying for a whole lot of stuff. But I haven't encountered one in a long time, so I don't know if they still make those.
Like, they're rare.
Yeah, what was the fucking, what was the Warner Brothers Smash Bros. That came out?
Oh,
Multiverses.
Yeah, Multiverses, yeah.
Yeah, you know, people are like, oh, you gotta get that, it's free to play, and, like, you know, like, you can play different characters each day, and I'm like, okay, that model sucks, and also this game sucks. Like, this is a double whammy. Like, you know, I don't want to fucking only play as LeBron James, and also this game is bad. So, you know, if Disney Speedstorm has a similar thing, like, all right, yeah, here's your five tracks and your five characters you're allowed to use today, like, I don't know. I'm speaking like this is even a possibility. I'm not sure that's what this game is, but it's kind of crazy. It's a Disney racing game with, as I said, 112 different characters. They're just jamming everybody in here, and, you know, a lot of the characters get a get their own racetrack. I was looking through the list, and, you know, I hate to, you know, talk shit on a game that I have no intention of ever playing, but, like, the list of characters that don't get a racetrack is more interesting and upsetting to me than the list of characters that do. It's like, okay, sure, the big ones get, you know, like, their own areas. You know, you're fucking Aladdin's and, you know, Frozen and
what
about Incredibles.
Mickey?
And, yes, Mickey. Mickey actually is, he gets two tracks.
Whoa!
Yeah, a modern Mickey and a Steamboat Willie. That was the last song there. That was the Steamboat Willie fucking techno mix.
But that's on a tugboat.
Yeah, but whatever. It's just the silver screen level. But, you know,
you know
who doesn't get
a fucking boat?
You know who doesn't get a track?
The
101 Dalmatians.
The guy from Tron.
No, there's a Tron level.
Whoa!
There's a Tron level?
There's a Tron level, man. That, you know, fucking Tron is somehow Disney's still trying to make that a thing. Like, they just made a movie last year with Jared Leto.
Oh, that's
like, it probably won't be a thing much longer. Like, but they kept trying. They were trying to do more Tron.
That is super upsetting. Because I'm looking at the list of levels. You're telling me there's a Tron level. There's no Emperor's New Groove level.
Well, that's the thing. So the Emperor's New Groove is planned for future release. So there might be an Emperor's New Groove level coming.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no 101 Dalmatians. Chip and Dale don't get their own level.
Oh, boo.
There's no level around Cinderella's Castle.
Now, is it
which
just
seems like a home run.
Just animated stuff?
I believe there's Pirates of the Caribbean in here, too.
Okay. So that opens up to, like, Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Or
that,
sure, why not?
Or that movie where Don Knotts is a catfish.
Yeah, I bet that'll get in here at some point. I mean, they already have 112 characters. Why not get Don Knotts as a fish?
Peach Dragon!
Man.
They added the Muppets, and there's no Muppet level.
Every Muppet?
No, they only added three Muppets so far. There's Kermit, Fozzie, and Miss Piggy. But even so, no Muppet level to go with it. Like, where's the Muppet Theater?
Yeah.
Where's the whole game Muppet Race Mania?
The whole game of the game.
The entire game.
I would love
there's no there's no Snow White, there's no Sleeping Beauty, and there's nothing based on Up or Wall-E, or Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, which there's all no seem like terminal grandma level for the Up stage.
I mean, that's the thing. It wouldn't necessarily have to take place in that House of Sadness. It would take place, I assume, at Angel Falls.
No, it has to take place in the House of Sadness, John. That's the only way it works.
It's so good for them that they changed the name of that movie from House of Sadness to Up.
It was originally going to be called House of Sadness.
I mean, yeah, I wrote it. Oh. Yeah. And then I was like, you know what? This movie's a little dark. How about A Million Colorful Balloons? And yeah, suddenly the movie took on a different tone. And then we got a little Korean kid involved, and it just became a completely different movie. The abortion thing went out the window. Or whatever it was. Miscarriage.
God. Whatever. God, Jesse brings up an interesting point. Like, there's so many weird, like, Disney live action movies from the 60s and 70s that they could tap into.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Herbie the Love Bug.
Herbie the Love Bug. The Shaggy Dog.
Yeah.
The one about the cat.
Pure War Tennis Shoes.
Yeah.
Pure War Tennis Shoes.
That darn cat.
That darn cat.
That darn cat.
Parent Trap.
Yeah, there should be a racing level set at a summer camp.
Turns into someone else's race car that looks like
yours. Well,
what's great
is you could then start doubling up on things, because you could have, like, alternate costumes for Parent Trap characters. So you could have the Lindsay Lohan version and then the whatever the original, you know, people
I was
going to
say, yeah, say her name, Johnny. Say it.
Yeah, I wanted can't to wait.
Pull that name. It's Haley Mills.
And then
I thought
same
Johnny
thing,
was
like,
about to Haley Mills us. I'm like, damn, Johnny does know Parent Trap.
I
watched
the fuck
then,
out of that
you know,
movie.
They've got
Jeez.
The remakes of Freaky Friday. They've got the remakes of Escape from Witch Mountain.
Witch
you know,
Mountain?
So you bring The Rock Johnson into this. Sorry, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, this is good. Yeah, yeah, sure, why not, man?
Yeah.
I'm surprised, really, you know, not that I have anything to discuss from this, but I'm surprised there's not, like, Disney Channel stuff on here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, where's a Goof Troop? You know, where is the poorly drawn Aladdin characters from fucking Return of Jafar?
Where's that, what was it called? There was an Alice in Wonderland live-action show.
Was?
Yeah. Oh, man, what was that called?
There was that weird
Adventures
Dumbo.
In Wonderland, I think?
Hmm.
It's like one of the first Disney Channel shows, and it was very weird.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that is weird. But yeah, I don't know. There's a lot they could do with it. But they're kind of playing the hits so far. And, you know, again, I might at some point, you know, check this out and try it. Because, like, I'm always down for new, you know, kart racing stuff. Mario Kart World was very good, but, like, I kind of played it out. And I don't necessarily want to drop, like, full price on the new Sonic racing game. So maybe Disney Speedstorm is, like, a good way to see, you know, just to get, like, a little taste of some more kart racing without actually having to pay for it. But I mainly, you know, featured this because this is a fan request. This one came to us, actually, in the chat of GTT Radio from Morning Floof. Thank you very much, Morning Floof, for this slightly informal request where... They basically said, like, oh, yeah, I don't know if you guys have heard about this crazy-ass Disney game with just, like, trap remixes of everything. And I'm like, excuse me? And I went and looked into it. I'm like, holy shit. Like, what is this? Like, this is just, like, Disney cross Tekken in music form? Like, this is fucking nuts. Like, the soundtrack to this game is just so silly. It's just so energetic and techno-y. And, like... Based on, like, the songs that were in, I kind of thought, like, okay, so this is, like, strictly, like, old-school Disney stuff, but then I realized it's not really that, but, like, you know, it's, yeah, I don't know, it's just an interesting soundtrack. They just technoed the fuck out of, like, you know, The Pirate's Life for me, which I always, I guess, associate not with, it should be, is Pirate's Life for me from Peter Pan, or is that from Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yo-ho, yo-ho, Pirate's Life for me.
They do play it during the ride.
Yeah,
okay, it's during
the ride.
So see, that's okay. So that's the thing. Yeah, I was like, they're playing fucking techno yo-ho here, and I'm like, is that? So is this whole game set in, like, the Magic Kingdom? No, it's not. They don't have that. But yeah, then they've got fucking, you know, just, like, technoed out versions of A Whole New World and Let It Go. They have fucking crazy techno version of Trust in Me, the snake song from Jungle Book.
That's cool.
Yeah, fucking Ka singing you know, Trust in Me with a fucking sick beat behind it.
Do they have
so
techno
crazy
versions of Tron?
You know, I don't know. Based on these titles, maybe. But yeah, they got fucking, you know, I'll Make a Man Out of You. They got Under the Sea. They got the fucking Bare Necessities remix. Yeah, it's a lot of crazy shit. Fucking, you know, there's something from Monsters, Inc. And yeah, that last song again was Steamboat Willie. It had the fucking Whistling Mickey in it.
Anything and from then, Kingdom Hearts?
No. No, not at all.
Did they have a techno This Is Halloween?
You know, I don't think that they do, but I think that there is a Halloween and like a Nightmare Before Christmas area in the game, so like they should. So, I don't know. Another thing, I guess, about this is like, as it's been released, it's been like kind of patchwork on like the rights and the voices and things, so like sometimes as they fucking update it, they'll be like, alright, yeah, now, hey, check it out, we got you know, Mr. Incredible's voice in the game finally. Like, oh wow, great, thanks. So, you know, maybe they're working on a fucking techno Nightmare Before Christmas thing, but I'm not 100% sure. But you do have a level where you can fucking race as Jack Skellington and Oogie Boogie around the Halloween festival. So I mean, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I was like really, I was happy to hear about this and then start listening to this tune. So I was like, that's so good. Like, I don't know. GTT Radio has a long and complicated history with Disney remixes of things, but somehow I feel like these are going to play really well around there. So we'll just see. Yeah, Disney Speedstorm. What a fucking game. A game that maybe we'll play at some point, but, you know, for now, we'll just enjoy insane, you know, fucking just like maximalist fucking Skrillex, fucking, you know, one jump ahead or whatever the fuck is going to be in this
Oodalali
game.
Oh, do they
have I don't know.
Oh.
What movie
from
or
Robin Hood?
Theme park? No, because I don't think there's any Robin Hood representation in the game, so no.
Oh, come
maybe
on.
Maybe in a... Well, you know, come on, how hard is it to get Peter Ustinov to come in and record lines for a fucking new kart racing game, huh? Yeah.
What I really want
well,
is
he's not
techno.
Busy.
I really want a techno DuckTale theme.
That, I mean,
or techno,
that's like the number one thing.
Techno the Moon like, from DuckTales for NES, which I know is not for the show at all, but...
But if we're talking, like, Disney Channel inclusions, then DuckTales is the play. And then also Gravity Falls, and if you really want to get the kids into this one, I don't want to say this word, but Bluey. Let's fucking go.
They did like, use the moon theme in the newer DuckTales show.
Yes, I know that.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if John, he said that's from the game, not the show, but they did use
yeah,
it in the show.
Yeah, I realize after saying that they did use it in the show eventually.
Right. Yeah, that was a great fucking... Yeah. Hmm. I don't know, what do you want to call it? Reference, inclusion at that point? Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool. That show came out like 9 years ago.
Yeah.
It's almost not new anymore. Anyway, let's hopefully get some crazy ass shit in the next Disney Speedstorm update. The next update apparently is The Emperor's New Groove and the Zootopia animals. So, not really for me, but it sounds real sexy. And Johnny, let's just
you
what? Oh, no.
Play as the sloth from.
You know, I could be looking at this
zoo.
While you're asking.
I just really like
Toe.
I'm more stoked about Emperor's New Groove than maybe getting David Spade to record some lines for this game.
Right.
And also, I hope they bring in... They don't list Kronk, but I hope they bring in Kronk in anyways. I can't imagine Emperor's New Groove without Kronk.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what are you even doing here? Yeah. Even though eventually Kronk did get his own new groove, so maybe they're waiting for that. Because I guess this next update is called like Partners in Paws, so it might just be animals. And yes, Jesse, it does have Flash the Sloth. Johnny, play the fucking next game sound before Jesse starts talking again.
Game 3.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen. The first appearance of the character that this game is based on came to the United States as a part of Super Robot Toys called Shogun Warriors, imported in the late 1970s by Mattel. Alright, gentlemen, let's see some answers or guesses or crudely drawn male anatomy. Let's see.
We'll call this crude.
Yeah, so. So, Johnny drew a penis with a little hat and it says, "Good day, mate." And that's incorrect. John said, "Some damn Gundam," which is kind of. It's close ish. This is. UFO robot Grendizer, and there's another part of the title, The Feast of the Wolves.
Jesus.
10!
No, it's actually zero. this is,
I'm sorry, UFO robot Grendizer, The Feast of the Wolves?
Yes, that's it. You got it.
Okay. It's a lot of awesome
words.
Sounding things in one title.
Yeah. And that kind of sums up this game.
Uh-huh.
I'd never heard of it. I was looking at the big like Christmas sales, and this game kept popping up, and it was pretty cheap, but I was like, what is this? Like, is this a thing? And so I did some research, and so there was an anime in the 70s called Mazinger.
Mazinger, barely know her.
Yeah. I thought, is that the show Smithers was going to go see? Pardon Mazinger?
I didn't realize that The Big Bang Theory was based on an old Japanese anime.
Yeah. It's a good
Mazinger.
Yeah,
Mazinger. Sucks.
So then there was a spin-off called Grandizer. And they're made by the same guy. And in fact, the main character from Mazinger, Koji Kabuto, he is in this game, and I guess he's in the Grandizer show. So what happens in this, and I guess, because this game is basically like a retelling of the show from the 70s, which I've never heard of.
I'm sorry. Grandizer and Mazinger, they like know each other? Are they rivals or something? Or
They know each other. Grandizer is from another planet.
Okay.
And so, Mazinger, he was the robot that protected Earth.
It's important we establish this.
Yeah. Until Grandizer showed up, and his robot was a lot more powerful and better at protecting Earth. So he became the new main, like, big robot. And, like, in the game, Koji, he just flies around in, like, a little flying saucer thing. Mm-hmm. And so, like, most of the time when you're playing the game, you're playing as Grandizer, this giant robot. So you're just running around in the landscape. There's little tiny buildings. And, like, you're fighting other big robots. And it looks really cool. It looks like, you know, 3D version of the fucking 70s anime, I guess.
How big of a robot are we talking about here?
It seems like there were, like, 6 or 7 pretty decent-sized areas, and you're going around. Like, there's this one area with a lot of, like, boats, and so there's a lot of you, like, escorting boats or getting, like, broken parts for boats to, like, fix them so they can escape the alien invasion.
Okay. But, I mean, like, so are we talking about building height?
Oh, as far as, like, bigness.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. I would say, like, Grandizer is so big that, like, a regular, like, say a football stadium would come up to his, like, kneecaps.
Oh, shit.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, he's a big fucking robot.
He's huge.
Yeah. And you're fighting other robots that big. Let's see. Like, when you start the game, your planet is being invaded by this force, the Vegans, which is weird. They're not like...
Oh, no.
All right. I had some issues, but now I'm on board.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, okay.
Grandizer's got to fight those fucking...
Is this a nuclear winter situation?
So, well, they end up fucking up the planet, and Grandizer, like, he, like, basically escapes barely... and gets Grandizer on Earth, and basically there's, like, peace, like, he doesn't see these aliens for, like, 2 years, and then they find Earth, and they're like, hey, we're gonna take this planet over, and so...
Oh, shit, Grandizer, you're here, I thought we killed you.
yeah, at first, then they're like, oh, fuck, well, we better, you know, double our efforts and, you know, try to stop Grandizer. I will say... And this is very unfortunate. The main, like, villain that's kind of... And, like, he's not, like, the main bad guy, but, like, the main general that's, you know, always attacking you. His name is Blackie. And so, like, you're always like, we have to stop Blackie! And it's like, I don't like that. And yeah, now it's spelled B-L-A-K-I. But even though, like, if, like, you were... in the other room and you heard, like, someone saying, oh, we've got to stop Blackie, you'd be like, Jesse, what are you playing?
Nope. Yeah. That's a weird one.
So that's unfortunate.
Did I ever tell you about how my my son named our kittens?
Oh, it was one named Blackie?
Yeah, it was Little Orangey, Little Blackie, and Happy Kitten.
Oh, Happy Kitten.
Yeah. We still have Happy.
Oh, okay.
Little Blackie and Little Orangey. They went to other houses, but...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
People don't believe me that my son organically came up with Lil Blackie and Lil Orangey. I'm like, listen, I'm not taking responsibility for these names. He's the one that said it. I didn't. Yeah. He's just naming these cats based on what he sees. He's fucking 4 years old. What do you want from me? But yeah, a video game should know better. Maybe dub that over somehow and change his name to not be General Blackie.
Yeah, that was...
I mean, I thought you were going to say, since you're fighting the vegans, his name was going to be something fun, like, you know, like Colonel Soy Boy or some shit.
No,
like,
no.
Which, you know, would be pretty great.
And fucking I don't think
Lieutenant
that
Tempe.
They're not, like, vegans, as in, like, that's how they...
I know
like,
they're not.
Captain Soy Boy Betacook.
There is another alien, and I forget his name.
You like soybeans? I love him.
He's like...
I
he's
am
like
soybeans.
Just above Blackie. But his face opens up, and a lady lives in there, and so, like, she, like, starts, like, yelling at Blackie also. Like, wait. You've got to stop Grandizer. You know?
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed whose face that is. The Blackie's face?
No, Blackie talks to this other guy who's, like, above him.
And who's got a secret woman living in his face.
Has a woman in his face, which is pretty... And it's crazy, because he'll just be talking and talking and talking, and then it'll be a scene, and it'll show that dude, but his face is open up, and there's, like, a lady just standing there with, like, a staff, and she's like, ah! You know, it's some good 70s weird anime.
That's some good weird shit. I would love that for that to be, like, a euphemism for, like, you know, Johnny being emasculated. Like, oh, yeah, you know, Johnny can't go out tonight. His wife lives inside his face.
Yeah.
Oh, what's the matter, Johnny? Your wife hanging out inside your face with a staff going, meh. Yeah.
You have to stop Grandizer. And they're, like, three main gameplay parts. There's the Grandizer parts, obviously, but then there's like a top down thing where you play in like Koji's spaceship, and it's like a little like shmup type deal, and that's kind of fun. And then, okay, so Grandizer, he has a mode where he can fly, and he flies in this thing called a spazer, and those parts are very much like Star Fox. So very like dope. You get like three different flavors of video game in this video game, which is pretty cool.
I like it.
But yeah, the combat is cool. There's all these silly like 70s anime cutaways to things. It's one of those where when you do your special move, the guy has to yell out what the special move is called every time. It's good stuff.
Gotta have that.
But yeah, it was a surprisingly interesting, fun game. Based on a property I've only loosely heard of in the Super Robot Wars games, because they'll be like, what is this doofy looking robot from? Oh, Mazinger.
So Grandizer is still in those Super Robot Wars games?
Yeah, he's in a couple of those games. Okay. So is Mazinger. And whatever the third one is, that guy made Go Nagai. He made a bunch of different anime, robot anime in the 70s.
Damn. Cool.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. There's just so many of them. I can't keep track. It's illustrated by the fact that there's literally like a Super Robot Wars 30 game with all these fucking robots.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And it's thought nice. The music was really cool.
It's cool that in the 70s in Japan, you could just like doodle a robot and get a fucking TV deal out of it. And,
hell
like,
yeah.
Fucking live forever in like fame with certain kids. So, yeah. I think it's pretty sweet.
It got really big in France, I was reading. So.
Like Grandizer?
Yeah. Well, I think over there it's called like Groy Duck or something.
Like Goy Duck?
Is no, not Gooey Duck.
Big jerk off clam?
Big jerk off clam.
It's a completely different show somehow. It's not even the same robot. Well, cool, man. I'm glad to learn about this.
It's neat.
Not that I have anything to do with this knowledge, but I'd like learning about new giant robots. There's so many.
Yeah, there's.
Jesse, is there anything else to say about Grandizer or Mazinger?
Not today.
Or any giant robot from the 70s?
No, not today.
All right, good. In the future?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Johnny, let's keep going.
Game 4. Thank you.
All right, guys. So this game has an Easter egg. If the player turns the book over to the back cover, they can read a blurb about the story and see that the book has a $7.99 price tag. Once the game's villain enacts his evil plan, the back of the book changes. The blurb is now about how great the villain is, and the price has gone up by $5. All right, guys, feeling great? I hope you're
Yeah, spectacular.
Yep, feeling very good. All right,
so writing, I like that. That's a good sign.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the best sign
of effort. Because of course, as Johnny says, Donkey Kong, sadly incorrect, and Jesse says Spider-Man, sadly also incorrect.
Free play.
God damn it. Yeah, no, it's not Spider-Man, it's not Donkey Kong. No, it's a different game that came out, not last year, but the year before, 2024. This game came out on a bunch of different systems. It's a little game called The Plucky Squire.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah, it's a cute little indie game developed by a company called All Possible Futures and published by Devolver Digital. And it's a game in which you play as a book character named the Plucky Squire. Specifically, the Plucky Squire's name is Jot, J-O-T. You play as him. You run around with a sword and fight stuff. and you go on an adventure with your two friends, whose names I can't remember at this moment, but, you know, one of them is a magic artist, the other one's like a mountain kid that likes to beat stuff up and make music. And yeah, you go on an adventure to fight the evil wizard that has taken over your book, because the wizard is very meta and is tired of being the bad guy of the books and wants to...
Wait. Hmm? He works for Mark Zuckerberg? You said he was meta.
Oh, yes. No. A meta in the original sense of the word. I appreciate you interrupting for that, though. No,
sorry.
Yeah, no, yeah, it'd be cool if it was Mark Zuckerberg, because then the whole game would just take place on one website. And eventually it would just start showing you a game that you don't even want to be playing. It's just showing you, you know, right-wing games that you didn't even ask to see. But no, it's so the game takes place inside of a storybook, and the villain, the wizard Humgrump, is like, hey, you know what, I'm fucking...
Grump.
I'm sick of your shit, plucky squire. I don't want to be the fucking guy that loses all the time, so I'm casting a spell, and I am kicking you out of the book. And the wizard fucking boots you out of the book, and you turn into a 3D character, and get to explore the world outside of the book on the desk of whatever kid owns the book. It's a very silly little game. It's pretty cute, though, because, yeah, you obviously get to return to the book. You get to move between the 3D world and the book world, and you get little magic powers and things that affect the game as the, you know, it unfolds in the book. Like, you can knock words out of the book and then swap them in different places to make things change. It's like, you know, you get to the thing, it's like, the bridge was totally destroyed. And then you leave and come back, you turn the page or whatever, and, you know, it'll say, like, you know, this wall was, like, perfectly built. And you knock out, like, perfectly built and grab it, turn the page back. Go put it in. Suddenly the bridge is fixed. That kind of thing.
Ooh.
You know, or like, you know, oh, there was a giant frog in the way. And then, you know, you find like the word tiny somewhere and put it in the way. And, you know, suddenly the frog disappears and or becomes really tiny.
Poor
frog.
You can
get past. So it's a cute little game where you're moving around inside of a book and outside of a book and making funny things happen. It was on sale on the Switch eShop, and I got it and thought my kid would enjoy it, and he has been so far. I will say, for me, a little easy, this game. It's pretty goddamn easy. Like, it's fun and sweet, but there's no challenge to be had in this game. It's really just kind of an enjoyable, very easy adventure game. And as I was reading about it, I guess, you know, that's one of the criticisms of it. People are like, oh, you know, it holds your hand too much. It's too easy. And I'm like, actually, though, you know, you hand this game off to a kid that has kind of little patience issues. This game's not so easy. Like, there are little mini games and things in this. Not so easy. Little timing based things. Not so easy. So maybe we need more 7-year-olds reviewing the games, because, you know, for its target audience, this might be the perfect game. It might be a perfect blend of challenging and fun and silly. and then it's got fun stuff for guys like you and me, because part of the game, you know, obviously, as you're exploring the book, you encounter all these different characters and different environments, and their mini boss battles and stuff like that. And there's a great variety to the mini games for the boss battles. Like, at the beginning, you climb up the mountain to where, like, there's like a honey tree or whatever, and you get attacked by the honey badger, who has his fist stuck inside two honey pots that look like boxing gloves.
Mm.
And it goes into a fucking mini game, and it's just a round of punch out.
Oh,
you're, wow. You're boxing with the honey badger, and, yeah. You know, Jacob's sitting there playing it. He doesn't know what this is. He's like, what do you do? I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure if you just press the button, you're going to punch him in the stomach. And if you press up and the button, you're going to punch him in the face. And I bet you at some point you're going to get a little star, and that means you get a powerful punch. He's like, how do you know that? I'm like, son, I just kind of, I can read this, dare I say it, like a book. This appears to be a punch-out fight. So... You know, trust me, if he's you know, not covering his stomach, just press the button. If he's, you know, not covering his face, press up in the button. You'll be able to beat this no problem.
Do honey badgers eat honey?
See, that's a good question, Johnny. Probably a question more appropriate for a zoologist, but for the purposes of the plucky squire, yes, the honey badger is a badger with two honey-based boxing gloves.
I mean, according to that one viral video a long time ago, they just fucking eat what they want.
Damn right. Man, it's been a long time since I thought about that video.
Yeah, the nastiest animal.
Yeah, good.
Honey badgers don't give a fuck.
Honey badgers are cool. Actually, you know, fucking zoo sidebar. Johnny, did I tell you about the new animal that's at the Tallahassee Museum, the little junior zoo that we got here?
No.
Are you familiar with a binturong?
Oh, those things are cool.
No, I'm not.
They're so ugly. They're awesome. It's like a bear cat.
Yeah, and they're long.
Yeah, they're like long, like weird little fucking. They have like a prehensile tail and like an ugly whisker, like bear cat face. They're just so fucking weird looking. They're great. I don't know if they're like gross and mean like a honey badger, but you saying that reminded me, like, oh yeah, we got fucking binturongs hanging in Tallahassee now. But yeah, so the honey badger thing's a punch out game. You know, I haven't gotten far enough in the game to get to where you have to play like fucking like a match 3 puzzle game as one of the boss fights. There's a game that's like you kind of got to aim like a reticle on screen. Not, you know, unfortunately, there's no motion controls. I think that kind of fucked Jacob up on that one. He got really angry at it. There's a boss fight against you have to go find like. Before that one where you have to aim the thing on screen, you have to go find the magic bow and arrow, and you go inside of a Magic the Gathering card and have to do an RPG fight against an elven lady with a bow.
That's cool.
Yeah. So like the game's cool and cute and doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Like you get kicked out of this storybook and you're a 3D character, but then obviously you get to move back and forth between the story and the outside world. But also, like, as you're exploring this 3D desk, you're able to go into other, like, paper things and have fun in them. But, like, it's like the desk of a kid that drew castles and shit all over the place and, like, you know, dungeons and stuff. So, like... Yeah, it just
so
doesn't...
a nerd?
Yeah, exactly. A huge fucking nerd, basically. And I think they actually do eventually, like, they mention that, like, yeah, the desk of this kid, like, the wizard in the game who's also slightly meta, you know, he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure this kid is gonna grow up to, like, design games and...
Gary Gygax.
he's you're an inspiration to him, Plucky Squire, so you've gotta get, like, back in the book and... you know, complete the book, because if this book ends with the wizard winning, he's going to think this book sucks. And if, you know, if he doesn't love the plucky squire, then he might never make games. And so, you know, yeah, you're basically at a huge nerd's desk. So there's just like, you know, castles built out of blocks, but then also covered in paper that you can jump into. And yes, you can jump into like a Magic the Gathering card for an RPG battle. It's, again, doesn't quite make sense, but it's very fun and very cute. It's good. It's pretty cheap. I got it on sale, I think, for less than $10. And, you know, again, it's not challenging. You know, again, I talk about how my son gets frustrated by things. There's an option to just skip a minigame if you don't want to do it, which...
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. It's good in the sense that I don't want to hear my kid, like, get pissed about something. But it's also like, man, whatever happened to grind it out? Like, you know... When I was a kid, we couldn't just skip a fucking part of a game we didn't like. Not unless you had a game genie. And even then, you know, you didn't really skip it. You just gave yourself a bunch of lives until you could do it. I don't know. I'm all about accessibility and games being fun, but, like, kind of feel like also I'm disappointed that my son discovered you can skip the hard mini games. It just feels like it gets the spirit of playing the game. But it's a fun game. It's cute. It's good. It's just fun and enjoyable and silly. I like, you know, I'm hoping that, there's more like wordplay to come in the later parts of the game. Cause like, as I've been playing it with him, I'm like, hey, wait, Jake, don't move on from this area until you like grab all the words out of it and like put them in your word bank. Cause eventually you're going to be able to do something really funny with all these words, I assume. Like, because, I don't know, there's just so many words laying around. There's got to be something where you start eventually just plugging things in and making wacky things happen later in the game. But I'm not sure yet, so, I don't know. We'll see. It's also a short game. I'm pretty sure we're about 75% of the way through it. So if the wordplay thing hasn't ramped up by now, it might not be happening. But it's a cool little game, man. I'm glad we picked it up. I picked it up, honestly, as part of my mission to fucking just start the year off right with a couple of easily beaten games. I fucking got some cheapo indie games on sales or on PlayStation Plus, and I'm like, you know what? I haven't beaten a game in a while. I'm going to beat a fucking game. Mm. And, you know, unfortunately, this is not the first game I played this year. Jesse, can I ask you about the first game I played this year? Did you ever play Thank Goodness You're Here?
No, not yet, but I hear it's really silly.
It's very silly. I didn't want to bring it on the show today. I didn't like it very much.
Oh, I see.
I didn't feel like it was a waste of 2 hours because it was only 2 hours long, but it wasn't very good. But it was remarkably silly. And, it was the first game I played this year and beat. And I did it in 2 hours. And
well, thank goodness.
Yes, exactly. Thank goodness it was short. I thought maybe you would have played that one by now. But, look for it when it's free. It's free on PlayStation right now, so maybe it's also on Game Pass.
Cool.
It's got enough charm to almost justify playing it. But it's also, I don't know, not much of a game. So I've moved on from that to something cartoony and silly, but maybe less pointless in the Plucky Squire. So, so far so good on me actually playing games this year. I say that. I've also, I made a terrible mistake of choosing another PlayStation Plus game that was free. Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh, have fun.
Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah, it's good. It's just a easy breezy 2 hour game. Goodness you're here, the Plucky Squire. I'm learning things about Cyberpunk 2077 that I never knew, like the fact that it's a first person shooter. I had no idea. I've not been paying close attention. So far, it's first person shooter. I'm not very not very good at those. So, maybe as I play the game more, or maybe I'll just stop playing it and play cute little games like Thank Goodness You're Here and the Plucky Squire and any other little indies that come on the Switch eShop for a couple of bucks. I think that might be my speed this year. Yeah. Cute little year, 2026. Cute, fun, short, accomplishable. These are words that I'm striving for in this year of gaming. But anyway, Johnny, let us go for the first time this year to the end of the show, to the calculating computer.
All right.
Calculating computer activated. Computers. Beeps.
Space.
Boops. Scoring complete. This game's winner is... Jesse Moore.
Hey. Hell yeah, big dog. Great job, man.
Thank you.
Jesse, way to start this year off right. Winning an episode of Game That Tune. You're the man.
Thank you.
Yeah, congrats. What are you thinking about for our next episode of Game That Tune? What do you got in mind for a theme? I bet you got something great.
Well, it's the new year, and it seems that going outside in this country becomes more and more of a gamble. How about games with gambling in them?
Oh. Interesting way to get to gambling games. Interesting wording there. How much gambling are we talking about?
If it's a game that has like one mini game where you gamble whatever the currency in the game is, that's fine. Just as long as at one point you gamble in some way, or it can be the whole game. But
okay,
gambling.
I'm down.
Are you a gambling man, John?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
I'm glad I'm not. I fucking went to the Jaguars game over the weekend. I would have lost money on that shit if I had bet with my heart, which is the only way that I bet. I don't bet logically, baby.
Yeah.
I'm a terrible gambler. Last time I bet on anything, talk about not betting with my my brain, betting with my heart. I lost $10 on that goddamn Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight.
No, you bet against Jake Paul.
I wanted Mike Tyson to knock him out so bad.
So did I, but like, come on, man.
I bet $10 on it because, like, you know, who knows? What if he just got had one in the tank? What if he just had that one fucking
dynamite punch?
Yeah, exactly. He just didn't fucking throw the punch. But, yeah, no, I learned my lesson then. Don't bet on, you know, boxing of all things. But, yeah, also maybe just don't bet. So, yeah. No, Jesse, I'm not much of a gambling man, but gambling is maybe a little bit more my speed. Now, also, you know, gambling, does that include games with loot boxes?
Gambling for children.
Yeah, exactly. If you think it's not a form of gambling, you haven't been paying attention to the court cases. No, it's super gambling. That's great. Yeah.
Super gambling.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Yeah. Gambling. That's, it's going to be good. I might have to really think about it. I feel like I haven't gambled in a game in a while.
Yeah.
But it's always been there. I mean, hell, as far back as The Legend of Zelda, it's been there. So, like, yeah.
That's true.
There's gambling in games. I'm down to do it. Safe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that, man.
I mean, you play the stock market in Animal Crossing, that's kind of gambling.
You're right. Investing is gambling. Damn it, Jesse.
Whew. Blowing my mind right here with how many... That 3.0 patch just dropped too, so it could be some Animal Crossing.
Right.
Oh,
what
no.
Better time to jump back into Animal Crossing? What else can you do now?
you know what's not gambling is always a safe bet to put your money in.
Free play.
Oof. He's right.
He's right, you know.
You can bet on us.
My goal is hit 7, and I think that was 7.
I think so, baby. God, if anybody bet the over, congratulations, you win. But yeah, okay, cool. So yeah, gambling games next time on Game That Tune. It's going to be fun. And you know what was fun? Tonight, guys, thanks for being here. Thank you guys that were here with us live on twitch.tv/GameThatTune. As we are most Wednesday nights, we love making the show and seeing you guys chat along with us, goofing off in our chat room there at twitch.tv/GameThatTune. Thank you to everybody checking us out in podcast forums. Podcasts come out Tuesday mornings, GameThatTune.com, or anywhere that you get your podcasts. Keep checking us out there. We love you guys listening to the Game That Tune podcast any way that you can get it. We love everybody checking out Patreon, patreon.com/GameThatTune. Still the home for awesome exclusives. Still the home for keeping the lights on at gttradio.com, our 24/7 video game music radio stream. We're going to try to do some fun stuff for Patreon and do some fun stuff just throughout the year as we continue to make Game That Tune. So be sure to check us out there. We love you guys and thank you all so much for the support. Thank you more specifically to our Patreon Absurd fans. You know we're talking about fucking Sam L, Phoenix Tier 2121, Beast Pond, and Spanky McMasters. Still a fantastic group of Patreon Absurd fans that we really appreciate the support from. So thank you guys again. Our request came to us from Morning Floof, which for some reason I just can't say it any other way. I can't say like Morning Floof. I have to say Morning Floof. In GTT Radio. Thank you very much, Floof, for the request. They made their request in the chat at gttradio.com. I encourage you guys to make requests there because it's a good place to find me during my workday. But you can also make your requests in Discord. That's a great place to make it. So check the show notes, get the Discord link, join our little community. Goof off with us, make some requests, and just be a part of the Game That Tune community in Discord. And... guys, I think that is going to just about do it. So, Jesse, you get to take us home, man, with fantastic bonus tunes to ring in the new year. Ring in the new year on the 14th of January.
Yeah.
So, what are we going home with?
Well, whenever I pick the bonus tunes, it's always kind of a gamble. I don't know if you guys knew this, but Shelley Duvall had a 3DO game. And and it was called It's a Bird's Life. And it's like this like interactive storybook thing. And it's got some songs in it. And I'm going to be playing one from it called 1 Pound Dog. And it's about a little dog. And it's a pretty catchy little song. 16 ounces of bonus song coming up.
From Shelley Duvall's 3DO game? Bird's Life?
It's a Bird's Life.
Okay. Well, there we have it. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Peace out, everybody.
Free play.
This is a story about a 1 pound dog. You might mistake him for a bump on a log. A friend of mine said,
"Hey, I like your dog."
Dog about as big as a bird. He's got the meanest bark that you ever heard. Just a friend of mine said, "Are you sure that's a dog?"
Okay.
1 pound dog.
Flink is copyright 1994. Cygnosis Limited. Disney Speedstorm is copyright 2024. Gameloft SE. UFO Robot Grendizer The Feast of the Wolves is copyright 2023. End Road. The Plucky Squire is copyright 2024. All Possible Futures and Devolver Digital.